thanks for being, like, wanting to share information, but also being a selfish or self-serving person sometimes. I try not to be, but I fight those. So I did. I did the right thing. I just put the post up here. AL.com story has Chris Stapleton planning two Alabama concerts in August. He's going to be up at the Von Braun Center in Huntsville, but he's going to be at the Wharf Amphitheater on the 31st of August. Saturday night show as well. As soon as I saw the post, I went and looked in it. Because a lot of times it'll be cool shows, but they're like a Tuesday night. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to be able to make that. This one, a Saturday night show. So that's I posted perfect. It up on social media. I'm telling you all about it. Now, the reason I'm fighting my inner negativity is I wanted to kind of keep it quiet so I could get good tickets. But, you
that's
know.
That nice.
But so I fought that. And I did the right thing, and okay. I shared the information, okay?
Just also,
and if I don't
like
get
that.
Tickets, if they get sold out and I don't get tickets, I'm going to be angry.
Somebody may have already purchased the tickets for you, and they're going to gift you with them.
Yeah, right.
That's my perspective.
Yeah, that's it, and it's a positive perspective. And
always.
I'm also positive I'm upset with you.
Why?
Like I said on Twitter.
What'd
that
I do?
You sent the this, okay, so this is a farming simulator. It's a game, and you're talking about the Esports League, recognize a farming simulator. And you had the story this morning. You sent this, and I looked over it briefly. Then I watched the trailer
for a video game. I knew it was going to take a second. You had a delayed reaction.
Correct. A pox on your house. Because, I have no time, and video games
don't... Does it look fun?
Video games don't interest me. It's just not been a, you know, the thing that... I wish I could, because you could bond with the kids and play a video game. I just can't, you know. If they could bring back Punch-Out, the old video game, then I'd do that. But this is, y'all, as the first generation off the farm in my family, the farming simulator game. You pick out, I'm watching the trailer like a movie. This video game has a trailer.
Uh-huh.
And you're watching this. You get to select your acreage, what equipment, what you're planting ag wise. I'm sure it's going to take in weather conditions and all this. I know there's about 90% of the audience says boring. There's about 10% of us, y'all, don't even go look at it. This isn't Farmville. This is a video game. You get to select. I think you select acreage. You also get your equipment. You're going to decide based on conditions what you're planting. You know, am I running cotton this year? What am I rotating? Am I going to do peanuts? Am I going to do corn? Am I going to do soybeans? You know, I'm sure they'll give you issues with equipment going down. You got to fix these things. I'm like, oh gosh, this is Pandora's box.
I can't wait to see, because it's going to be an esports league, right?
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see what they wear. What the people like? Are they going to be wearing the straw hats? And
we don't wear straw hats. We wear
They don't know that.
Carhartt overalls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Carhartt overalls that I got them with all the...
With one suspender down or both up?
It depends how much... Sometimes, because of the way the Carhartts hook up, if I'm under the tractor working, I come out from under there and I do have the one undone. I didn't mean to.
Wait, is it like Baywatch? It's like you're moving slow motion,
slow motion. I don't know about the Baywatch part of it. And, you know, the hydraulic fluid all over me and the diesel smell. But and then we don't wear the straw hats, because straw hat would get hung up under a piece of equipment or in the cab of the tractor
or
the ball cap.
These are all, you know, video game players. I think they're going to be in the most generic, whatever they think farmers wear.
They're going to dress like Green Acres or something?
Yeah. I used to play a game on the Game Boy back when I was a kid called Harvest Moon. That was one of my favorite games.
It was a farming game?
Yeah, it was a simulator, but it was more than a farming game. You had a girlfriend, take her to the town dance.
Okay. And now these are things I like. You're farming and
good night moon. Let's be real.
Good night.
Good night, cow jumping over the moon.
Man, I used to play that game Harvest Moon all the time.
It says you get to ride horses, you get to decide if you're going to run livestock, growing. Okay, I'm getting away from this. This is a
horrible
distraction.
I mean,
thank you, but no thank you.
Play by play because it's sports. This is what happens when you work with a person who actually knows you.
Yeah, I know.
And listens to you.
Poison.
This is like a great relationship right here.
Poison. Is all I needed on this Thursday morning is this distraction. But it's cool. Uh-huh. And yeah, the fact that there'll be an esports league, maybe I'll get good enough that that'll be my side hustle.
It might be a good way to get your boy to help you out on the farm. Get him started on the video game and say, hey, you want to do this in real life?
Yeah, he'll go to the farm and then want to go inside the house and play the video game. Maybe it'll work. We'll see. All right. Lots to talk about this hour. Plus, our buddy Rob Hulbert from LandYap joins us coming up in just a little bit. Our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. A couple things on the national side, but I'd say number one that has a lot of people talking, of course, is the State of the Union for you. You know, it was supposed to be next week. The president had earlier yesterday talked about, oh, yeah, this is still happening. Basically, he got the original note, which is kind of a protocol thing in Washington. The Speaker of the House, the boss of the House, sends a letter to the president. We still go through these mechanisms, and I kind of like it, too. Mm-hmm. They send a letter to the president asking them to address the joint bodies in the House to hear the State of the Union. Okay. That's kind of how it's become. Early on, State of the Union wasn't like that, and it didn't have to be there in the House. But really, with the television age, the pomp and circumstance and the goings-on and the trappings of that came up because presidents realized, wait a second, I have a constitutional duty binding me to give a State of the Union. Mm-hmm. But if I give it here, it's kind of campaign speech, and I get so that's become the new norm. So the first letter goes out to do the State of the Union. Then Speaker Pelosi sends another letter like, eh, let's not do this during the shutdown.
Because and she expressed her concern about
security. And other right. and listen, there's some legitimacy to it, and there's also some political posturing to it, most things in Washington. So the president, posturing back the other way, basically says, yeah, I'm coming. Thanks for the invite, referring to the first letter and ignoring
the second
letter.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I asked this question yesterday of Brendan Kirby and Cameron Smith, people that have some insight. I said, is there any precedent on who gets to say yes or no? Because if you think back, let's go back to school here, co-equal branches of government. Even though if you want to look at the head of the country is the head of the executive branch and the president, but co-equal branches. So the executive branch, and you'll see it, other than vetoes and things, the executive branch can use a bully pulpit, can cajole people, can entice people, but can't go dictate, thank goodness, what the legislative branch does. It's the same way, flip it around, legislative branch can't come into the executive branch and do something that is the province of the executive branch. Same thing with the judicial for the legislative in every which way. So actually, Pelosi does have the right to make that call. Now, the president could, by the way, we looked at the Constitution, go do a State of the Union somewhere else.
Correct.
And not, and Speaker Pelosi couldn't say anything about it. He could do an address from the Oval Office or do something like that. He'd still do it, but not in the setting. So he said earlier yesterday, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is what's happening. Then later on, he's having a presser. It was about 2:30 yesterday afternoon, and comes out and says, well, in fact, no, we're not. It is canceled. We're not going to do the State of the Union yesterday. He had this to say.
We will have a response to Nancy Pelosi in due course. But what she's doing to the American people, what she's doing to our Constitution, is a disgrace.
All right. So the president had a lot more to say about that. And we'll get some other clips. And I want to hear from you. State of the Union, Delight, is this, I'll say this, it's chaotic in Washington. Is it a good chaos? Is it chaos that makes you go, okay, the swamp's being drained, things are being done, it isn't business as usual? Or does it bother you that it, like I've said before, it seems like a lot of time is taken up with this back and forth, this what I will call pettiness, and when they're doing all this, this kabuki theater, they're doing this drama, days of our life drama, you know what's not getting done? The work of the people.
Right.
So Democrats and Republicans fighting it out against each other, to me, takes out, and I know that members of Congress that I've interviewed right here say, Sean, even while all that's going on, we're doing the work, but at least the optics of this make it seem like y'all are busy in some kind of schoolyard fight, and you're not doing the work of the people.
It's overshadowing all that.
Yeah.
But see, here's the deal. So President Trump, he basically virtually has his own channel, Trump channel. It's called Twitter.
Yep.
So he can use this to his advantage and, you know, talk to the country in different ways leading up to when the State of the Union actually happens. But when you don't want to talk about pettiness, I'm going to address the elephant in the room, okay?
Okay.
And the pettiness is this. So we know that when the president doesn't care for people, he coins a nickname for them. Well, he's calling Nancy. She's the Speaker of the House.
Yes.
And so if you look, no matter how low and ugly things have gotten, he's always addressed as the President of the United States.
Right.
Right? But she's been called Nancy. And as a woman, okay, you know, she has worked very hard. Whether you agree with her or not, whether you hate her guts or whether you love her to pieces, she has earned that title. And so not addressing her as that title is so disrespectful. And it's like a barb in the side. And professional women...
I mean, but in this, this is, and I agree, the nickname stuff started in the campaign in 2016.
Everyone
coming
had,
from
yes.
candidate Trump.
Yes.
But now it's been adopted on all sides. So, I mean, to act like the people that are opposed to President Trump or Never Trumpers are pure as a driven snow.
No. I would never say anything. I would never say that. But I'm no, because even as the president, he has different nicknames for Lion,
sure.
Lion whomever, Crying Chuck.
Right.
But with the Speaker of the House, it's Nancy. And that I'm telling you, as a professional woman, and there's many women that I have spoken to, you know, regarding this, that is a jab. That's a silent jab. And it takes away from the fact, be mad at each other, but be respectful of each other's title. And again, no matter what you think about the president, the vice president, secretary of state, whomever, these men and women have all earned these titles. And if you don't like it, then vote the other way next time. But until said election, all should be addressed appropriately. And so I want you to pay especially close attention to that as you hear these press conferences, as you read these different news articles, because that is a way to really try to bring her down a few notches by calling her Nancy. She never calls him Donald. Ever.
She's had other, I think, maybe had other names. I would think, what about Fancy Nancy?
No.
Not Fancy Nancy?
Mm-mm.
Okay, just wondering.
Not when she's the number two. Not when she's the number two. And sometimes you hear her being called the number three, but she's the number two because if Vice President Pence were to move up, then she'd then move up into the number two position.
There we go.
No.
All right, we'll take your calls when we get back. 343-0106.
So wrong.
You call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Right, 823 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. You know, grab some calls at 343-0106. Y'all gotta get stickier here. When people load up, yeah, you get back on here because I can read some of these texts, but not all of them while we're doing the show. And yes, I mean, I see the number two jokes, and but believe me, I was doing everything I could while Kelly was talking to not. To not giggle.
I'm game. We all. I mean, have you seen heard some of the commercials that talk about number two and number three?
Yes, mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we. By the way, too. A side note, pulling back the curtain, we don't run those. Those come in with national things, and we don't have a choice on those.
I do save them though.
We have a
to run them back.
Just on my iPod. Heather says, I think President Trump should go ahead with the State of the Union and just choose a new venue. Speaker mm-hmm. Pelosi is being impossible to deal with. She is determined to make no deals or compromises whatsoever with President Trump and his administration. Not because of the issues at hand, but because of her hatred for the man. If this were flip-flopped and this was being done to a Democrat administration, the Republicans would be demonized. All right. Yeah, a bunch of people, by the way, have either inquired about this farming simulator or sent out a link and people have already downloaded. And
really
I'm trying not to download
giver.
It. I'm not going to do it till the weekend because I'll be distracted.
I pride myself on being a really good gift giver.
Those that have already downloaded it, y'all don't take all the good tractors, please. Johnny in Grand Bay says, it's always the Republicans who need to change. Americans have been waiting for someone who would put the country interest first rather than caring for a group. Trump is correct to stand for us all. All right, let's go to the phones, 343-0106, and Thomas is first up. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, good morning, Sean. Good morning, Finley. Good morning, Dalton.
Hi, Thomas.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for being on.
I like to be called the Hermit from Theodore, really.
All right, Hermit from Theodore.
Yeah, you were talking about plastic-faced Nancy. I mean, what's up with the size of her eyeballs? My wife's always talking about her eyeballs, and they're really big. They're like one of those deep-sea squid. You know them, this giant balls?
Like 20,000 leagues under the sea?
Anyhow, Finley,
yes.
I keep having this reoccurring nightmare.
Oh,
I want to talk about the State of the Union address. But first, I wanted to tell Kelly, I'm having these reoccurring nightmares, and I'm always the pig that has the straw house.
Really? We got to get you some bricks, man.
Now that's funny. That's the first time you heard that, you laughed. Anyways, I've been reading this book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Constitution, that I got from the Guns N' Roses show that you have on Tuesday nights, you know, with the...
Armed Alabama, the, yeah.
Guns N' Roses, I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, the Rip Roaring Judge there, isn't he something? Anyhow, and it says that the House and the Senate, they have to pass resolutions giving the time and the date of the State of the Union.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't have, Nancy doesn't have any power to say, no, you're not going to do it.
No, but she can say the venue.
Tell the people to vote against the resolution.
And with her controlling the House, it's not going to happen. Yes, and I appreciate that improvisational jazz form of a phone call there. But yes, it's...
I think the community can agree that we're tired of both sides acting in such a fashion.
Yeah, I would say that a lot of people, but there's a lot of people who say, no, that's great. That shows
really?
That discord is showing that something is getting done to drain the swamp. My worry is so much energy is expended on the back and forth. Is it actually draining the swamp, or is it just the fight trying to drain the swamp, but you're not actually... You know, once you go down the road a month or two, nothing really changes.
Well, I don't really like the name. I'm not into name calling. I will say that. But I just, if there is a way where we could get people back to work, right, and continue on with the theater on both sides, then let that happen. But the problem is it makes good for TV. It's good for TV, good for radio, good for all that business. But what about these people who want to work, who want to earn a living and support their families? All this back and forth, there are consequences involved in this.
Which, by the way, there are a lot of events going on right now, too, to help out Coast Guard members.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it more on the midday show, but a gun raffle going on right now to raise money for the Petty Officers Fund, and give you more details and put them on our Facebook page.
And at the battleship, too,
the battleship's
well.
Collecting. Mm-hmm. I know my children's school, I got a note this morning, they're collecting as well. All right, let's go to David in Mobile next. Hey, man. David in Mobile.
Hello?
Yeah, it's you.
Which one? Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, a couple of things here. I'm kind of, like a bunch of people, upset with what's going on. And I guess today we will find out if the Republicans has any backbone. So that's one thing you got to say about the Democrats. They have shown backbone. They stick together. The Republicans do not. But I have to say... Another thing here, as far as let's stop this shutdown, open the government, and let's negotiate. I thought this is what we've been doing for a long period of time. So if we open the government, the Democrats are not going to negotiate for a wall.
Right, you're going to lose any leverage.
Sticking together, so the Republicans just got to show some backbone. And say, we're going to stick together, too.
And what you're talking about today, is the dueling Senate bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll get some votes today, so we'll get to see how the Republicans are going to vote now. We're going to get to see the Democrats, because they got some new Democrats in there, see if any get any compromise from any two parties.
There we go, David.
Democrats in the past have not compromised at all. They stick together almost like 100%. The Republicans are the ones that break.
There you go. David, appreciate the call. We're up against the news
break. The Democrats, they've already said that the Republican bill is dead on arrival. I haven't heard that yet from the Republicans about the Democrats.
Now, that's one of the ideas that people have talked about. This may be the way out. We'll see what happens today. Hey, coming up, Rob Holbert from Landyap joins us. We'll talk about flying out of Brooklyn, food inspections going on, and what we mentioned earlier, the gun used to kill Officer Tudor was a stolen gun from what they're saying now is an unlocked vehicle. Getting that and a whole lot more when we come back.
Hey, appreciate it, Kane. It's 8:36 here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How's everybody?
Hey, we're all doing great. Not many days left in January. That means not many days left to get a great deal on those 2018 Sierras.
Man, I'm telling you what. I want people to go to our website, Dalton, which is McConnellAutomotive.com. And we've got, I think, about 15 Z71 2018 models left. And I guess in people's minds, I want them to realize that most dealers are charging for 17 model used trucks, Dalton, like $41,000 or $2,000.
Mm.
But we've got brand new $56,000 sticker price Z71s marked all the way down to like $44,000, $45,000. I'm talking about $12,000 off. So, and the reason, Dalton, is General Motors and our dealership, we've got these 19 trucks coming in that everybody's going nuts over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as we do that, we got to make room, and the deals are just hot. So it's a perfect time to come to the dealership and check out the deals on the 19 model, the new truck, and it, or save all this money, like $12,000 off the 18 model. But it's really going fast, and people got to move right now, Doc, because they're going away super quick at these deals.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a great day.
Y'all have a great day, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Check out McConnellAutomotive.com, then go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Get our buddy Rob Holbert on from Lanyap in just a second. I do want to read, well, a bunch of great texts coming in. No way to get to all these. Mark says this, and this will be a good transition. Mark on the text line says, I think if they shut the government down, all parties responsible should be locked in a room until they negotiate the terms to reopen the government. I guess kind of like a lock-in. We should have, like, take them to the gym and lock them in. But I was thinking more like we discussed with the Mobile City Council and the administration and the mayor. It reminded me of things like the Get Along T-shirt, where you get the extra, extra, extra large T-shirt, and they have to wear it. One arm comes out of one side. They have to put that, and we'll put on it Get Along T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like my wife always tells the story of her and her brother would not be getting along, mm-hmm. and her mom would make them sit on a love seat and hold hands until they could get along, which is like kryptonite poison with the sibling, and they would get along or at least act like it because they didn't want to go back on the love seat.
I would make my kids hold hands and face each other.
It's like brutal.
Oh, yeah. Brutal. Nose to nose, baby. Nose to nose.
Brutal. Let's get some reaction from Rob Holbert on that. That's brutal, man.
Yeah, we didn't have any of that kind of stuff at our house. It was, you know, it's mostly like just don't kill each other.
So. Y'all fight it out in the octagon.
Our only rule was don't hit him in the face. That was really it.
Everything else was okay, like soap wrapped up in a towel to beat him with.
Anything, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, bag full of oranges. It was all good. Yeah, you just, you know, as long as it was body blows, you know, nothing to see.
And which is another reference, and of course I'd get that from Rob Holbert, another reference to the game Punch-Out. But
That's it. You got it. Yeah. You caught that one. I heard you say something about Punch-Out earlier. And it just
now, if they brought that that video game's interesting, and now this farming video game. Those are the only two. There's the breadth of my things I'm interested in video games is Punch-Out and a farm game.
We should put a GoPro on you and just watch you play this game, because that would be pure fun.
There was this old game a long time ago that was that they had it was sort of like this whole it was called Utopia, and you had to farm and do all these things. You had to grow your own country, basically. And so I thought that really would appeal to you.
Yeah, probably, except for Dictatortopia. Yeah, we could do that where I take over and make it crown myself emperor. All right, I want to get
to any government shutdowns on this.
No,
thing,
so,
you know,
no.
That was the thing.
Because I would never. I might.
Probably today they would add that feature, I think.
Shut down the dictatorship.
Yeah.
But while I argue with myself. All right, a couple things to get to here. First of all, this is if it comes out as described in the presser the other day from Frontier Airlines. At least for me, this is very self-serving because I want to take the family out to Colorado this summer. Frontier flying to Denver and Chicago out of Brooklyn. That could be great.
Yeah, they're good prices, too. You know, it's like I think the Chicago trip's basically $80 round trip. It'll start in May. They're really great prices. It's an established airline. Somewhere along the lines of the Southwest. It's a pretty big move for the new Brooklyn Airport, you know, and that's a great thing for people who want low cost. The only thing when I looked at it, you know, you say, well, you got to go on Wednesday and come back Saturday, but, you know, for that kind of price, that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent a couple extra days out there. That will be good. So we'll watch that story. Also, something you mentioned to us last week, and now you've dealt with this in your Damn the Torpedoes column in the new Land Yap, and that is, explain to folks, when you talk about restaurant inspections, is it that people aren't passing or they're not getting the inspection? What's the issue here with the health department?
It's that we're just not getting them done fast enough, and it is creating a situation. You know, basically, a lot of restaurants are supposed to be, most restaurants are supposed to be inspected once a quarter, from what I've been told by the restaurateurs I've spoken with. A lot of ours are getting maybe once a year, and they're coming in late, so they're having trouble getting their business licenses renewed. Some of them are being fined because the business licenses are being renewed. Also, new restaurants are having trouble getting open because they can't get the inspections done, and you know, it's one of these things where, you know, if you're starting a restaurant, you don't build into your business plan, hey, 2 months of just sitting there waiting.
Right, but this and people, so everybody knows, because I don't get into a little bit of what Jason Johnson said on a PBS thing, but we're in the business of making sure everybody knows how things work. This is a function of the county, right? Not the city, correct?
It is a function of the county, yes. It is the county health department. And you know, their point being, hey, look, we've lost some of the, they usually run at, you know, somewhere around 18 inspectors. They're down to 12 right now, and they have to go through the county personnel board to get the new inspectors, and then they have to train them for six months to a year before they can do it on their own. So there's a lot of bureaucracy in it. I'm not trying to point the fingers and say these guys aren't doing it or these guys aren't doing it, but it's not getting done, and that's the real thing. And it's been going on for a while. This isn't something that just started. This has been happening for some time, and it's just getting worse. So they've got to really jump on it and figure out how to get around this bureaucracy.
I mean, it seems like there would be a self-serving motivation for government, because you get the restaurant open, you get tax receipts.
Well, I guess if you look at your job, I mean, apply that logic to the post office, Sean, and see if that works for you. You
know, I'm so stuck in the private sector. I know my brain works.
I mean, you know, that's not necessarily how things work sometimes. And you know, sometimes people just do their job at whatever pace they do their jobs. So you know,
okay. True in the short term, but in a representative form of government, you elect people to, you know, do the job of running things there, and then when they're elected, you complain to them and say something to the effect, very astute here, like, dude, what's the problem?
Yeah, but when you're talking about something like the personnel board, you're down in the jungle of bureaucracy. I mean, this is like, you know, who do you talk to about that at the personnel board? I mean, that's the thing. You know, I know that the health department has, you know, Bert Eichel has in the past even suggested, look, you know, let the legislature, let us hire our own people, because this is taking too long. And I mean, that's not a new complaint either, that this process takes tremendous amounts of time. And so, you know, it gets into all those issues about, it just does get into the bureaucracy of government sometimes, and how quickly people move, and whether they're being done, you know, whether things are being done properly. In the meantime, when you're looking at that 95 on the wall at the restaurant, you know, when's the last time somebody actually went up there and looked and checked on it? And you know, as you know, not to say that we don't have the cleanest restaurants in the country, I'm sure we do, but there may be some people out there who, if they don't think that anybody's going to come check on them, maybe they cut corners.
Rob or Roberto, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Do you think that a lot of people would be surprised that not only is the focus on the restaurants, but as per your article, swimming pools and schools and jails and daycare facilities and camps?
Yeah. I mean, the health department inspects a lot of things. Mm-hmm. They do a tremendous amount. So I guess in 2017 was last year, they had numbers for it. It was over 14,000 inspections. And, you know, of 3,000 plus different places. So there's a lot of inspections and a lot of re-inspections, clearly. If you do the simple math, a lot of these places are being inspected several times. You know, the restaurateurs I've spoken with are saying, hey, they're not coming in here four times a year. So they're going back and forth to a lot of places, apparently.
Up against the break. Can you hang on for a second?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll go to the news break, and we'll come back more with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, because we'll talk about one of the new pieces of information here surrounding the death of Sean Tudor from the Mobile Police Department, killed Sunday, and now MPD saying the gun used was a stolen gun. And we've talked about that, and they said it was stolen out of an unlocked car. We've talked about this in the past, and we'll get Rob's reaction to this and a whole lot more when we get back. Phone number, text line, probably hit us up on the text line, best, 343-0106, 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And it is a Thursday, which best chance is cool event. Thursday must be a cool event going on at Cottage Hill Package. And you are correct. It is New Belgium Brewing Company. They are bringing in the monsters of the craft, which is seems oxymoronic. The big boys, the monsters of the craft brewing world, but they absolutely are. Tonight, one of those free tastings from 6 to 8 at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. And here's how these deals work. They'll come in, and you'll get to sample some old favorites and maybe usually some of the brand new beers they're bringing out to see if you, you're going to get a six pack of something and you've never had it. It sure is nice to take a little sample and see if you like that beer. I get it. And then if you like it, you can buy a six pack. But also when these brewers come in to these events, just as I've seen, they bring swag. So if you're like a big fan of New Belgium Brewing, chances are there'll be hats and stickers and those kind of things. And since the beer refrigerator, which has just always been a reality in my life, but I now realize it's a hip thing to have a beer refrigerator and put the stickers all over it, you can get those stickers there as well. They're always doing cool events at Cottage Hill Package like this, but don't just come on Thursday nights. If you're looking for cigars, you're a cigar fan, their humidor is so big, and I've said this before, Billy, who is their tobacconist, he is like a park ranger, but for the humidor, leading tours through there, showing over here is Partagas and there's Punch. But if you're somebody like me that has people on their gift list that love cigars, but I really don't know anything about them, I'll go out there, Billy will help me with the gifts. If you're a cigar aficionado, then you and Billy can talk shop. So a great selection of cigars, fine wines, great spirits, and a huge monstrous and ever added to list of craft beers at Cottage Hill Package. Go see them. Corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, and like them on Facebook where you get updates for all these great events. All right, continue our conversation with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. New Lanyap out on the streets now. Tell us about where to get it and what's on the cover.
On the cover is unfortunately there's a cover with a badge on it. Mm-hmm. And, it is, the cover is about Officer Tudor, and I hate having to do these covers. I'd much rather have that pickleball cover rerun.
Yep.
This is horrible to have to do twice in a year to have this kind of thing going on. You can pick up Lanyap 1,500 different places all around Mobile, Baldwin counties, but check us out online at lanyapmobile.com. But it's a sad thing for the city going through this again. And honestly, the part about him being shot with a stolen gun is just, once again, it's just egregious, and I can't imagine if that were my gun how I would feel.
And that brings up a subject that is not brand new. It's been talked about many times. You and I have talked about it. We talked about it on the show. I think it was last year that Councilman Small said was thinking about fining people who had guns in unlocked cars or got them stolen from unlocked cars, something to that effect?
I agree with that. I think it is gun ownership is a right, but it's also a responsibility. And, if you don't have the responsibility to take your gun inside, people shouldn't leave. My son has started driving. He leaves his wallet in his car all the time. And I'm like, don't leave your wallet in your car. People shouldn't leave their wallets in the car, much less a loaded gun. My Lord, it's craziness that somebody would do that.
And I'll tell you, though, there'll be somebody out there right now, because we've had this conversation, that will say, wait a second, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's a criminal doing something wrong. And I agree with them idealistically, but the problem is you have to have a pragmatic view. You should be able to leave your wallet in your car. You should be able to leave your gun in your car. Absolutely. And nobody mess with it. But that's not reality.
But the reality is that those people who have the gun in their car also got the gun in the car because they're fearful of crime. So
yeah, so lock the car.
So there, so on one hand, they are very understanding of the fact there is crime. On the other hand, they're going to play dumb and say, well, I shouldn't have to do this because there's crime. You know, there's no reason to have the gun if there's no crime, correct?
Right, and I will argue, yeah, this, in this case, it's police are saying this gun was stolen from a vehicle there at the Peach Place Inn, which is right, where the murder of Officer right, Tudor went down. But in a lot of cases, they're just guns that have been stolen. They may be months ago or years ago and show back sure, up. And the recovery rates are really quite small for stolen guns.
Right, right. And that's, yeah, it just, it puts guns, I mean, I guess you just have to look at it from the standpoint of, if you bought a gun for home protection or your personal protection, then you are understanding that there is crime. And to understand that when you lose that gun to a criminal, it then enters the criminal system, and it is in, it is then likely to be used to either harm somebody or maybe kill somebody.
And yeah, so, quite often, you know, yeah, a gun that is stolen is not used for, you know, your neighbor doesn't have that, didn't steal that gun for home protection. It right, quite often goes in, probably most of the time, goes into the bad guy's hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. It seems pretty simple to me. I don't know. You know more about the rules of carrying a weapon. I've been told that even if you have a concealed carry, you're supposed to put the gun in the trunk of your car anyway if you're driving. I don't know.
No, that's not true. No, that is not true.
That's what I was told.
Let me go as a person that may or may not have a concealed carry and may or may not own between 0 and 500 firearms.
Right.
No, my concealed carry, I can, with a few exceptions, I can carry that gun wherever. If you do not have,
why would anybody leave it in the car?
If you do not have, okay, if you do not have a concealed carry and you're trying to transport a handgun, maybe to go to the range or go to the hunting camp or something like that, if you put that handgun in the trunk or somewhere like that, that's what they're talking about. But if I have a concealed carry, it can be on my person, it can be in my vehicle, it can be on a, you know, a hat that I'm wearing that has a gun, whatever. I can have it on my person. The point is, though, that I imagine that you take responsibility for that firearm the same way we talk about in your homes, locking them up in a safe if you're not using them. The same thing is true, you know, to not leave it in your car unlocked. I think it's a fair, I don't want to change laws. That's my problem, is when government wants to change laws. But do I want to change hearts? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see, you know, finding people who leave their guns in their cars and have them stolen, I don't see that as being a deterrent for gun ownership. I just think that's, you know, I don't see that as any violation of the Second Amendment. I see that as an encouragement to behave responsibly with your weapon. And, you know, it's just, you know, if you leave loaded weapons around and people use them and kill police officers or kill other people, it's just, what's the point? Why have them? What are we gaining from that?
I mean, we'll have that, and we'll have a lot of people want to talk about that, and maybe we can have you back on a midday show or something and talk about that at length. I want to, before we run out of time here, give you a thumbs up. I think a lot of people have, if you look at social media, for your buddy and writer, Jason Johnson. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, on PBS? Yeah.
On PBS.
A thing on PBS, which is pretty interesting, is, you know, based on really on his coverage of the issues with mental illness and you know, jailing. The warden out at the jail, Trey Oliver, also was featured on PBS.
Yep.
So they came here to talk about this issue in Alabama, and Jason did a great job writing about it, and they came out and interviewed him, and I thought he did a great job on TV. Yeah.
I think he represented us well to a national audience, you know, kind of trying to dispel rumors about us in the South. And also, I love his kind of matter-of-fact reporting that you do and all your crew does at LANAP. We try to do around here is making sure people know that actually this, you know, these people are responsible for this. This is the province of state. This is the federal. This is local. I mean, that kind of information is valid because a lot of times people are running without it.
Hey, as you know, people often are getting mad at the wrong agency. They're, you know, furious at the city because something happened that's really the county or the city or the state's or the federal government's issue, you know. So it is good to have information, and I think Jason always tries very hard to make sure people have the basic information of that. I think it's sort of one of his pet peeves is people not understanding what who deals with what.
Well, hats off to them and all of y'all at Lanyap. And Rob, will talk next week.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Will do. And we'll be back tomorrow morning. Six? Ella says?
Yeah, all right. See.
All right, I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one.